Hello, and welcome to the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life the way it was meant to be, what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century, and we appreciate you joining us on the journey. Roger, as hard as it is to believe, it's Friday, it's May, and you and I both had to do some mowing yesterday because there's talk of snow flurries this weekend.
This is just crazy, isn't it? But, you know, we get through these things, and we know that the Lord is good to us no matter what.
That's exactly right. We are kicking off a brand new series today. Of course, we on Fridays have a specific track where we pick some theme basically for the month and just try and walk through it in a practical way. And so in January, we talked just about the concept of being heaven bound. In February, we talked about flat tires, things that can hinder us on the journey. In March, we talked about through the ages, what it looks like to be heaven-bound at different stages in life. In the month of April, and just bleeding a little over into May, we talked about how great it is being a Christian. We needed some good news throughout the month of April. And in May, we're shifting gears a little.
Yeah, and we want our listeners to know that all these series are on our website. They make good little packages just to kind of go back and refer to. As you journey through life, you'll find yourself going through these different things. And these are just good things to kind of store away, revisit them once in a while, because they will help us as we work with God.
In April, we needed good news. In May, both you and I thought it would be a good idea to talk about as the storm passes by. We spent some time several weeks ago talking about storms in general. But what about as the storm passes by? What lessons have we learned? We sing a hymn every once in a while. The chorus says, till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. And this is really a prayer. Hold me fast. Let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe. Till the storm passes by. We know that especially Matthew, Mark, and Luke in their Gospels all reference a powerful storm in the lives of the disciples. And, of course, Jesus was in the boat. I think you're going to draw some lessons from Matthew and Mark in just a moment. Let me just read a few verses from Luke chapter 8, verse 22 to get us thinking in this direction. One day, Luke tells us, he, Jesus, got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke Jesus, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. The storm had passed by, but this was an occasion for some lessons. Jesus looks at these men in the boat and says, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even winds and water, and they obey him?" Roger, what about Matthew and Mark? What stands out to you from any of those Gospels about this storm?
Before we get there, let's just notice one phrase you read there in Luke's account. This is in Luke 8:23, and this is not quoting the disciples. This is just the Holy Spirit giving us the background narrative. But it says in the New American Standard, they began to be swamped and to be in danger. Yeah. This is the Sea of Galilee, and the Sea of Galilee is surrounded by mountains. Air masses would go over those mountains. Warm air would collide with cold air, and very quickly storms could be created. And you have to realize Peter, James, John, Andrew, they lived on that lake. They were fishermen, and they understood this. And they knew this, and they were scared. They thought they were going to die. Over in Mark's account, in Mark chapter 4, again, just point out just some of the textual notes about this and to see this. He says in verse 37, it says, "And there arose a fierce gale of wind." And that expression, gale of wind, comes from a Greek phrase that we get the same word for earthquake. Matthew's account will say it is a shaking wind. So this is not just a few white water that they're going through. Not a little bit of rapids here. This is a serious storm. Mark continues, "Not only was there a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat." Now, you may be like old Popeye, a landlubber, and you may not know the starboard side from the port side of a boat. But there's one thing we all know. Water's supposed to be under the boat, not above the boat. When water is above the boat, we got a problem. And then Mark also says, "So much that the boat already was filling up." You have water in your boat, you're in trouble. You are in danger, as Mark says. You're going to go down. Now, over in Matthew's account of the same passage, we see in verse 24 and in verse 25, as Matthew's telling about these things, he says, "There arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was already covered with the waves, but Jesus himself was asleep. They came to him and woke him, saying, 'Save us, Lord, we are perishing.'" And so, again, this is an incredible storm. What's interesting, this will not be the last storm they go through. Not on that, not with Jesus, not in that lake. There will be other storms, as it is with us as well.
So I think one thing important to point out here, especially in light of Jesus' question, "Where is your faith?" This is not the first miracle they had seen Jesus perform. You're teaching a class on Sundays on miracles, and if especially you're not a member of our Charlestown Road Church family, I would really encourage you to go to charlestownroad.org. You can see that series began in the month of April, and Roger's just walking through seeing Jesus from those miracles. This isn't the first one. I mean, we know it wasn't a miracle, but John the Baptist had spent significant time preparing the way for the coming of the Lord. And then in Luke's account, let's just take, there were a number of wonders and signs. A man with an unclean demon had been healed. Peter's mother-in-law in Capernaum had been healed of a very high fever. And that led a great many people from that city to gather outside of the house. And Luke tells us that many with various diseases had been healed. Prior to the storm, we read about a leper being cleansed, a paralytic being enabled to walk. We read about a man with a withered hand suddenly being healed, a centurion's servant being healed from a distance, and the miracle before this storm, a widow is in the middle of a great crowd that is carrying the body of that widow's only son, carrying that body to bury it, and Jesus lays his hand on that funeral bier and speaks to that young man, and he is raised from the dead. There are incredible miracles prior to this storm. And so what do you think is the purpose of Jesus asking, "Where is your faith?"
You know, as is with the disciples, as is with us, when we go through a storm, there are lessons to be seen, lessons to be learned. But one of the things that helps us through the storms is relying upon what we know. These disciples should have known. This is not the first time this comes up. when Jesus fed the 5,000. Later, he feeds the 4,000. It's like he had never done that before. And then right after that, they get in the boat. And as Jesus is teaching, the disciples are fussing because they only brought one loaf. And Jesus brings that up. When I fed the 5,000, how many baskets were left over? When I fed the 4,000, how many leftovers do you have? They just didn't seem to get it. And I think sometimes the same is for us.
They're not the only ones.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So one of the things that we want to try and do in the month of May is to, in a sense, put ourselves in that boat as the storm passes by. And of course, we have been, as a church family, as a community, as a state, a nation, as this world, we have been in the storm. We don't by any means want to imply that the storm is over. We continue to have to be very, very careful and wise and cautious in the way we conduct ourselves. But what do we need to learn from the storm? And so we've really broken that down into four different basic lessons that will take us, Lord willing, throughout the month of May. So much, first of all, that seems to be stable is, in fact, very fragile. We'll talk about that more in a moment. We want to talk next Friday, borrowing a phrase from Psalm 90, the prayer of Moses, teach us to number our days. It comes through loud and clear from this passage in Luke chapter 7 that our faith needs to continue to grow and mature. The faith of the disciples certainly did, and that is true of us as well. And we'll wrap up this series, Lord willing, by talking about how discipleship, our relationship with Jesus, the disciplines that he leads us into, the Lord's church, that's our anchor and our lifelines, important things in the midst of the storm. But we start here with so much that seems stable. That evening in Luke chapter 7 started out stable, right? Luke just tells us one day he got into a boat with his disciples and said, let's go to the other side of the lake. So they set out and he fell asleep. It seemed to be a perfectly normal, stable day. But Roger, you and I both know that what seems stable isn't always so stable. That's a lesson we need to learn.
We can leave the house in the morning, get in our car, head off to work, but by the end of the day, boy, our days become upside down. A phone call is all it takes that someone near and dear to us has passed away. On that way to work, or a car pulls out in front of us, and then that day is ruined. A child falls and gets hurt, and we've got to run to the emergency room of the hospital. And in this coronavirus situation which we are in, things that you know, we just never even dreamed of. I mean, we never dreamed across this country, most of us, if not all of us, have been worshiping in our homes. You know, if you were to say that, I'd say, that won't happen. That may happen over here, over there, but it won't happen nationwide, worldwide. I got an email from a guy in Nigeria today, and they're facing this, and they're worshiping in their home. And then to think about the jobs. Many people don't have a job now. We think about places to eat. We're coming into Mother's Day, and we're supposed to take Mama out to the restaurant. Well, we can't take Mama out to the restaurant. We can get the food and bring it home, but we can't get out. Funerals, we're only 10 people, and it has to be at the gravesite. And so all the things that we have just counted as normal are not. When all this started back at the end of middle of March and in April, so many families had spring break plans. I've talked to several families. We're heading to Disney. Well, you had spring break at home. It wasn't the way you thought it was going to be. And so that teaches us that life is fragile, that we are not in control of things. A simple little virus that's invisible to our eyes can turn the world upside down and just inside out. And so lessons to be learned in the storms.
It makes me think of James chapter 4. James 4, verse 13, where toward the end of his very practical letter, James is led by the Holy Spirit, and he says, come now. Anytime a Bible writer says something like that, we ought to pay attention. He is inviting us to listen and listen carefully. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Well, that's exactly what we're talking about, right? I had a big dry erase calendar that I hung in my office at the end of 2019. And man, that does not look like it, what I thought it would. You know, some people buy really nice planners or calendars at the very beginning of a year. What has been more useless this year than a calendar for the year? But that's not unique. And we don't necessarily even have to have a pandemic in order to need to remember as Christians what seems to be stable. Our habits and patterns of life, you know, just going across the street here from the church building to the movie theater. The economy, as you mentioned, our jobs, our plans, things that we had even scheduled in the life of our church family, even our own health, I think James is encouraging us to see. You do not know, verse 14, what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin. Roger, what do you think we need to learn from that passage?
Well, you know, so much of James mirrors the words of Jesus. When you read the Gospels and then you read the book of James, you see parallels. And in this section you just read, you know, I think of two dominant passages in the Gospels. I think about Jesus' parable about the man, the farmer, who was going to tear down his barns and build larger barns, and then I'll sit back and take my ease. You know, all my plans. This, you know, I've got it mapped out and it looks great. And God said to him, you fool, tonight your soul is required of you. Now who own what you have? So here was a man who had everything mapped out, but he forgot about God. And then we think about Matthew 6, where Jesus is telling disciples not to be anxious. Do not worry. And then as he concludes that in verse 34 of Matthew 6, he tells them, do not be anxious for tomorrow, for each day has enough trouble of its own. Getting through today is going to be hard enough. I don't need to throw tomorrow into today because I just got to get through today. So from what James is teaching us, okay, number one, we are not in the driver's seat. We don't know what today is going to finish up like. We don't know we don't even know if there's going to be a tomorrow. And so to arrogantly say, I am going to do this, you better be careful. Now, is it wrong to make plans? Absolutely not. Churches do. Families do. Businesses do. You have to make plans. But your plans need to have two things in mind. Number one, you better include God in those plans. And secondly, you got to realize you better put your plans in pencil, not ink, because things are subject to change without notice. And those are some things that will help us.
What do you think he means by if the Lord wills? You ought to say, and that needs to stand out to us as Christians. Why do you think he is teaching Christians to say, if the Lord wills?
You know, again, James mirroring the Gospels. And we think of this passage, we think about the Lord in the garden. and his prayer to the Father, let this cup pass from me, not my will, thy will be done. The will of God is what's going to run this world. And so God has plans. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, is appointed man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. God has a divine appointment with us. We don't know when that is, but God does. And so the idea of God wills includes God. God has a plan for today. I don't know what it is. I can't see it all, but God does. God's already into tomorrow. I can't see tomorrow, but God's already there. And so this idea of praying this, the idea of including this means, you know, here's my plans if God allows this. Here's what I want to do if God allows this. And realizing God may not allow that.
And where that chapter ends, if I know what the right thing to do is, and I just continue to put it off, James just very bluntly, clearly labels that sin. I'm going to have an end. This world is going to have an end. Now, I obviously am no expert and certainly not a prophet. I don't believe that this coronavirus is signaling the end of the world, but this world is going to have an end. And if we ignore that reality, we're essentially asleep at the wheel spiritually.
And what James tells us in verse 16 of the study here is, but as it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. So the plans that are made with a sense of definite, I know I'm going to do this tomorrow. That's arrogant. That's what James is saying. That's evil speaking, because you are not in the driver's seat. You may wake up tomorrow with some sickness and you can't get out of bed. You may have to go somewhere tonight that you didn't plan on going, and that's going to ruin your tomorrow. We don't know. And that's the driving point of this. But, you know, through this, as we think about storms, all storms sooner or later end. The flood ended. The storms there in Luke 8 ended. We have storms. They will end. This coronavirus will someday end. And through all of this, we have to realize, have we learned anything? Have we become a better people? Or have we just simply been survivors? Just get through this, and then I'm going to forget this and put this out of my mind and never think about this again. Adversity, as James chapter 1 teaches us, is a fantastic teacher. We see things in trouble that we never see in sunshine. And those are some things, again, we need to keep before us.
Jesus' goal with those disciples was to do so much more than help them survive the storm. The storm, in order for it to have its full effect on them as the Lord intended, there were lessons to be learned there, right? And that's the lens we want to use throughout the month of May, if the Lord wills. So much that seems stable is fragile. But I am thankful. I know you're thankful, and I would encourage our listeners to be thankful. We've got an anchor, right, that is not fragile. You turn just a page over in your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, and Peter tells us, all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. And so in April, we talked about a lot of good news. It's great to be a Christian. As storms come and go, and especially as storms pass by, what have we learned? That's a good question.
And through this, we need to see that God's not going to put a little umbrella above you so you'll never have a storm. You will have storms. But what we need to see is that faith in God. That's what the Lord was rebuking. You know, the Lord did two rebukes there in our opening text. He rebuked the wind and the waves, but then he rebuked the disciples. The wind and the waves just happened. That's nature. But the disciples had a choice. And what's interesting in Mark's account of this, when they woke Jesus up, they said to Jesus, "Teacher, do you not care?" We have a hymn, "Does Jesus Care?" You know, care is different than ability. Can you stop this? Have you ever seen anything like this? That's the one thing to say that. But to say, "Do you care?" that drives at the heart. And Jesus always cares. And I wanted to also bring up just this little transition where we're going to be talking about this very Sunday in my class as we talk about the miracles of Jesus. We look at Matthew chapter 8, the calming of the sea, and then in Matthew 14 is another storm when Jesus is walking on the water. So oftentimes when we see pictures of that, you know, we see artist drawings of this, it's a sunny day and it's a calm water. This looks like he's walking on a piece of glass. Well, the context doesn't say that. It takes place at 3 or 4 or 5 in the morning, which is very dark. Again, the winds were very strong there. But something happens between Matthew 8 and Matthew 14. In Matthew 8, when the storm ends, the disciples say, "What kind of man is this that the wind and the waves obey him?" In Matthew 14, after Jesus walks on the water and Peter walks on the water, they have a different reaction. The Bible says they worship him. First time that the apostles ever really worshiped him, and then they declared, "Certainly this is the Son of God." This is the first time that they ever made that declaration. So between Matthew 8 and Matthew 14, we see a different reaction. Both accounts took place on the sea. Both accounts were in boats. Both accounts involved storms. Both accounts, the apostles were very scared. But what a difference it was to see that faith growing.
As the storm passes by, great lessons to be learned. I would encourage you, as we mentioned earlier, if you have not been following along with that miracles class, it's freely available at charlestownroad.org. As Roger mentioned, previous podcast episodes are all archived there. Just a wealth of resources to help you prepare before the storm, endure in the storms, and continue to learn lessons after the storm. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope that it's helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for your journey. We encourage you to always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you are heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.